Father in heaven, as we just sang, we have walked through life in ways in which we have often focused on self and not of thee. And as we just proudly proclaimed and sang to you, that we want to be none of self and all of thee. Father, that transition is difficult. And we pray for your Spirit to be at work within us. We ask for a heart of repentance. We pray for a soft heart, not a heart of stone. We pray for a mind that is willing to listen, to be convicted, and to bring about the change that brings you glory and honor. Help us to truly have none of self and all of thee. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. I do have a few announcements I need to make, and I'm sorry to kind of do it right here at this point in time, but the good stuff. And yes, they're in the bulletin, and you could read it there, but just want to make sure you understand a few things that are coming up. One is a Saturday morning, the men are having their fellowship time, prayer time, and study time together. That's at 8:30 on Saturday morning. And that is just a really good time for us to be together. It's a powerful time for us to be together. So I would encourage any of the guys here that would like to participate in that to come out on Saturday morning. In the evening, that evening is a fun family activity, a bingo activity. It's not bingo in the sense that, you know, it's a fundraiser, those type of things. It's not that at all. It's just a fun activity. If you'd like to participate in maybe coming up with one of the prizes for that, willing to make a donation from your home, don't have to go out and buy a thing. Everybody's got, not junk, but treasure in their house. Treasure in their house that might be better in somebody else's house. Put it together as a little basket and bring it along with you, and we'll just have fun together on Saturday evening. So it's just a really fun time of being together as family and just having some fun together. And then after our worship today, if you want to learn more about this edition that is going on, and really it is, the reason behind it is to help people be able to be here to worship God. That is the number one reason behind it. So if you want to hear some more of what's going on and get involved with that, or at least be a part of the discussion around that, stick around, and if you have some questions, you can share it then afterwards. One of the most difficult issues I have, and I think probably mankind has, is judging your own motives, why you do what you do. I would like to be altruistic. I would love to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm always in full faculty. I've got my emotions under control. I always know why I do what I do. And the truth is, sometimes I just respond, or react, I should say, without thinking. Sometimes I have to take a look at the motive behind it. Is it for me, or is it for God? And there is a situation that I'm dealing with in my life right now that is really pushing me to really think through my motive. And it's not an easy thing, because you get all sorts of ideas in your head about fair, right. But motive comes to the heart of the issue. I want to give you a classic for example. And again, maybe this is only me. So let's just suppose you go to a coffee house to get a too expensive cup of coffee, And you're there with that barista and you order your whatever the language is in Latin in order to get your coffee. And you get your cup of coffee and it's $4 for this 6 ounce thing of whatever it is. And then there's this tip jar right there at the end of the counter. Well, here's my question. Don't answer out loud. Here's my thought question. Do you tip? I mean, it's a cup of coffee, not to be overly simple. Nobody did a tremendous amount of work. There was a machine that did 90% of the work. But if you're me, I don't know about you. I really work at trying to not live my life by guilt, but sometimes I feel like I live my life by guilt. And you think the tip jar is there. You don't want to look like this, you know, ungrateful person. So you put that, it's $4. She gives you $1 back. You just put it in the tip jar and you're done with it. So it's a $5 cup of coffee. Now, just think through the motive behind that tip. That's all that I'm asking you to do as we get ready to hear Jesus. Is my motive, I want to be a blessing in this person's life because God has blessed me. Is my motive, I don't want to look like a jerk because everybody else is putting a dollar in for their $4 cup of coffee and I just don't want to look like a jerk. Let's go with the first for a moment. Let's really give all of us the benefit of the doubt. I want to be a blessing to the barista. We even got to come up with a fancy name for the person that hands us his cup of coffee. And now I actually have a choice. This has physically happened to me. And I tell you, I think way too deeply at the time. So I've got the dollar in my hand. She turns to get the cup of coffee. Do I wait for her to hand me the cup of coffee so she can see me put the dollar in the tip jar? Or when she turns to get my cup of coffee, is that when I put the dollar in to where she has no idea whether I put a dollar in the tip jar or not? Which one is it? Well, again, don't answer out loud. I tend to wait. Okay, I'm putting it out there. Now, here's the thought process. I do that and I claim in my head and trying to convince my heart that I want her to know I'm not just a bad customer, that I really do care. So I want her to see me put that dollar in there. Not to think highly of myself, but just so she knows that, you know, I'm trying to be a really good person, especially if she knows I'm a Christian and I'm trying to have my Christian faith out there. So I just want to make sure she sees that I'm trying to bless her. Is that true motive or is that just a game that I play to tell myself I want her to see me putting the dollar in there? I ask you to think about that because we're going to be in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. And we're only going to be in chapter 6 and we're going to just hit verses coming through it. Jesus is taking this sermon that he has given to us. He's sitting on this mountainside. You've got his disciples. You've got more people, a crowd of people that are there, some of which would claim to be disciples of Jesus. And in this sermon, after he walks through how important obedience to the law is and having your heart right with God and really understanding the law the way God wanted it to say, he turns and he says, now we divide it in chapters and verses, chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men or people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. First word out of the bat. Beware. When you really look at the word that Jesus uses here, he uses a word that says, bring it to your attention. Put your mind thinking about what you're doing. It's your motive. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Beware of why you're doing what you're doing. Righteousness is not the issue here. The three examples that Jesus is going to give us are not the issue here. And we'll walk through the three examples. It's the motive behind all of this. It's the motive behind the perceived righteousness, the really good, right things that God calls us to do. We could end the sermon with verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before people, before men, to be noticed by them, because if you do that, there's no reward from your Father who is in heaven. We could just stop right there. Jesus could have stopped right there. But he brings out two sides to a very strange coin. One is, watch my motive. But the ending of that verse is, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So wait a second. Am I doing this to get a reward? I don't care how you cut it, there is a reward that's coming. The reward really is now being questioned. Do you want your reward by people, or do you want your reward by God? Your righteousness brings about a reward. And I think that's important to think about. It's not, don't be righteous. Yes, be righteous. Is it that righteousness has good that comes from it, a blessing that comes from it? Absolutely it does. But if the blessing that I am looking for, the reward that I am seeking, is for that person to think of me in a good manner, Jesus says, that's fine, you got your reward. But would you rather have a reward that came from God? What's behind door number 2? You know, I forget the name of that game, whatever the deal, let's make a deal or something like that. You know, I can see what's in front of me. I don't know what's behind that door, that curtain. But God says, whatever's behind there is the blessing I give. Which one do you want? It ought to be a no-brainer, okay? It ought to be, I want God's blessing, not the reward from anybody else. Just glance through your Bible with me. The ending of verse 4. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The ending of verse 6. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The ending of verse 18. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is talking about a reward. Okay? You can't deny the wording. It's really about the motive. Is it the publicity of it to see what I get? Or is it I'm giving my heart to God and I'm longing for that reward? That's the only one that counts. So what Jesus does is he walks through and gives us three illustrations. Illustration number 1. Verses 2-4. Let's read that together. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the street, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Go back to the tip thing for a moment. Do you really believe the verse or not? Is the desire to be seen, or is the desire to just bless and be an instrument of God's use? Again, I'm not trying to put this all on tipping by any stretch of the imagination. I do believe it's a fairly accurate way of taking a look at the passage, though, because it plays into our heart. It really does. It plays into why I do what I do. So Jesus says, when you give. By the way, we're going to see this played out in each of these. When you give. Giving is what is the expectation. When you give to the needy. So there was a person that really helped Carrie and I out at a particular time in our life and was a great blessing to us and really helped us through some difficult times. And I really wanted to thank him and publicly acknowledge the kindness, because he's just a very kind person. And he literally said to me, please don't steal my reward. And I thought, what? He said, I don't want anyone to know anything. It's between you and me. God will take care of all the rest. Just keep it between you and me. And I'm like, but what you've done is so kind and over the top and so good, and you've blessed so many other people, because I've heard about it. Don't steal my reward. That was the phrase. See, that's a person whose heart comes back and says, I want God to see what I do. I don't care about a thing about what man sees that I do. Because if I get my blessing here, I've lost a better blessing. And it was such a good life lesson for me. When I do so, I don't want someone to say, oh, you do this well. Thank you for doing that. Yes, thanks. There's nothing wrong with saying thank you to anybody. But I want God to get the glory. When Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, he didn't stop there. He said, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, it needs to all be pushed upward. And even when someone praises you, and that's not because they are being mean, but probably because they deeply love and appreciate you, somehow we've got to learn to push that praise upward. Get the focus off of me and put the focus on the one who blesses all of us. To him be the glory, great things he hath done. Okay? Not you, not me. So Jesus says, the person who, and he goes to the extreme. They sound their trumpets. Okay? And they do so in the synagogue and in the streets. Do me a favor. Let's just pick up with verse 5. Go on into verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. The synagogue that he is talking about is the public assembly of where people gather for worship to God. Can I just translate that in modern day and say the church building? It may not be 100% accurate, but the idea is we're coming here. Here's his point. If even we as a church try to do things to toot our own horn, we're missing the mark of what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? Let's do the good. Let's let God get the glory and get ourselves out of the way. So here he uses in this second illustration the person who prays. Is praying evil? No. Giving isn't evil. Praying isn't evil. So this is a person who loves to pray standing in the synagogue. We have people who say public prayers here and who give us a thought for our time together around the Lord's table that do such a fantastic job. And I'm so thankful for that because it helps me to come before God, either in prayer or when we take our communion together. But if the motive behind my preaching, the motive behind their prayers, the motive behind their speaking as we talk about our communion is to come up with the most flowery words, the best illustrations, whatever the case may be, so that you come and say, that was such a great prayer that you did. If that's the motive behind it, God says, you got your reward. You got it. You wanted people to think you're great. They think you're great. But what would be better? For him to think you're great? Or for him to think you're great? Nothing against Chino, but I'll take God any day of the week. Okay? My point, Jesus' point is, when you do these things, you have to examine your heart. And you think, we're just saying a prayer. We're just, you know, helping a needy person out. All of those things are good. And very rarely can be done completely in secret, by the way. They're very rare to do completely in secret. The motive has to become, am I doing these things because of God? Or am I doing these things because of you and how you think about me? And that really hits the heart of this lesson, which is why he starts at the very beginning, don't do your righteousness to be seen of men. So in the example of prayer, he would say, you know, go into this closet, if you will, and close the curtain, and there have your prayer to God. Prayer warriors, by definition, are not there to publicly put themselves out in front of anybody else. They really see their battle against evil or for good or whatever the case may be as an opportunity to intercede with God on somebody else's behalf. And so they love to take that opportunity either privately with a person or in their own home or driving their car or wherever it may be. Knowing that the great I am, the God of the universe, is being invoked to come down into this life, into that person's life, and to touch them. I can guarantee you the prayer warrior isn't looking for the reward of your blessing. He or she wants God to step in and to take control of a situation, of a life, of whatever it may be, so that somebody can be better connected through Jesus Christ than they have been in the past. So Jesus takes the opportunity not to say don't pray. He says, let me just tell you about prayer. So when you pray, pray like this. And he walks through not a formula prayer. He walks through a prayer that simply says, God, you've provided everything. You've met every need I've got, from my daily bread to everything else. And you've walked with me through the darkest times, through the temptations in my life. Jesus says, when you pray, just focus on God. Just put your focus there. It's not a formula. It's saying, let me encourage you to get your heart right when you pray. Illustration number three. Verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, Jesus actually has an expectation that this is what disciples of his do. They give, they pray, they fast. In the Christian world today, we're, especially in the Protestant world, we're almost anti-fasting. I'm not sure where that came about or why that came about, but we've almost taken it to an extreme that makes fasting bad for some theological reason. Jesus has an expectation. But when it comes to the fasting, he says, when you fast, keep even your fast between yourself and God. So, comb your hair, wash your face, live life. You don't have to walk around with your very godly, saintly attitude and let people know how much you have given up for God. And you've got to say God with an emphasis there. Jesus says, get over it. Just keep it between yourself and God. You know, people fast for many reasons, both in the Old and the New Testament. There are times that people are really struggling with a sin in their life. And they know it's a sin. And they know that they are hurting their relationship with God. And sometimes they just fast to say that when my stomach growls, my prayer life grows. Because I know I need to get connected to the only one that can really sustain me, and it's not going to be bread alone. There are times that people fast because they really need to know what's the right next step. Maybe I'm going to make a change in my career, making something happen in my life, in our relationship. And so they take a time to fast, seeking to hear God. So I'm going to say, I'm going to take all the time that I would have used in meal preparation and in eating, and I'm going to just sit with God, or maybe my spouse and I will sit with God, and we will spend time just praying together, asking God to reveal himself to us so that we know what is the right step to take, the step of faith we ought to be doing. There are many reasons why people fast. Jesus just simply says, when you do it. When you do it, don't make it about you. Make it about God. So you're fasting for a reason. You're putting something away from you. It's not always food, by the way, throughout the Old Testament. Sometimes people give up other things. When you're putting something away, what you're doing is you're saying, those things that I have had an attachment to, I want less of an attachment to that so that I can have more of an attachment to you. And I have to see the difference because my focus has been over here on my attachment. And I need to cut it so that I can really hear you speak to me. So when you fast, don't disfigure your face, but instead anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen. We are in a time of year. When Carrie and I lived in Pittsburgh, those 24 years, I came to know the Catholic faith better than I had ever known before. in part because a tremendous amount of people there around me, including my neighbors, were Catholic. And so I would want to spend time with them, and I did. And in this time of year, it was called Lent. Now, I grew up, I didn't even know what Lent was. I thought Lent was a strange thing for strange people. That's really what I thought Lent was, okay? That you have to eat fish on Friday and you can't eat meat. Isn't fish a meat? I would have all these discussions in my head, okay? We had neighbors, he passed away, that she was a very strong Catholic believing person. And I still keep in contact with her, by the way. And I just asked her, I don't understand Lent. And she said, it's really about focusing on God and what I need to change in my life. And it's just simply a calendar time to help me do it. I thought, well, that's pretty basic. I guess I could understand that. I don't have to be adversarial towards that practice. She really didn't care whether I ate meat on Friday. When her husband was living, he did say, please don't grill hamburgers on Friday. And I get that, you know. They have a really good smell to them, but that's beside the point. His statement is, and when you fast, keep it between yourself and God. All through this illustration, God promises a reward to those who are faithful to him. When you and I do what we do, we should do it for an audience of one. That's it. An audience of one. Whatever's going on in my life, I need to be doing for him and him alone. Will that bless my relationship with Carrie? Yes. Will it bless my relationship with my children? Yes. Will it bless my relationship with my neighbors, with my friends, with my church family? Yes. Because the only person I want to see is the one who sees me deeper than anybody else. And I can't hide my motive from him. He knows my heart. So it's not don't give, or don't pray, or don't fast. That's not even what Jesus says. He says, when you do those things, make sure you're doing it because you are looking for God. And the beauty is, God will bless you because of it. James would write, humble yourselves before the Lord. You know the rest of the phrase? And he will lift you up. That's a promise, by the way. Get your ego out of the way. Humble yourself before God. And God will lift you up. But as long as you're trying to do the work, then you're getting your own reward. When you let go and let God do the work, then God gives you the reward. And that is what Jesus says. When Jesus talks about a master who gave talents of money to three of his servants, to the ones who used it for the master's glory, Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. He ends that saying by saying, enter into the joy of your master. I want my reward. That's in heaven. That's the only real reward that I want. My human fleshly side struggles with that. It does. But I know that the reward that comes from God is greater than any reward I could get from man. And when I enter into eternal life, that is the greatest of all rewards. And there's only one who can give that to you. And that is Jesus Christ. And he's already done the work. He's already done it. Get you out of the way. Draw near to him. Draw near, nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Let that be our prayer. And if that can be yours and we can help you, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?